off the ball breakfast.
So since match day 12 of last season, which was Amrin's first in charge, no ever-present Premier League team have performed worse than Manchester United.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
It is week 5 of the Premier League, and this week it's David Wilson stepping in for Stephen Doyle on Off the Ball's Big Match Sunday preview. This week our commentaries come from firstly the Stadium of Light, as Sunderland welcomed goal-shy Aston Villa to the North East from 2 o'clock. Richie McCormick will be joined by Brian Kerr for that one. The feature game today sees Arsenal host Manchester City at the Emirates Stadium from 4:30. Nathan Murphy will be joined by Keith Tracy for that game. So if you're new to this podcast, every week or every other week, Stephen Doyle or another member of Team OTB will preview both of our live commentary games each Sunday afternoon. Sunderland take on Aston Villa in the first of our live commentaries this Sunday on Off the Ball. The Wearsiders find themselves sixth in the table after four games, taking 7 points from a possible 12. And last time out, they played out a solid nil-all draw away to Crystal Palace, largely thanks to goalkeeper Robin Roofs.
Pino across to Will Hughes. Now Munoz, he puts in the cross, but Tata denied by Roofs. Instinctive attempt at goal. And a brilliant instinctive save as well from the Sunderland keeper. Made a couple of really smart stops in this second period.
Northern Ireland's Trey Hume, Mozambique's Reinildo Mandava, Switzerland's Granit Xhaka and keeper Roofs are the only four players who've played the entirety of the four games in the league so far this season. Head coach Regis Labrie will want his side to build on their solid home record, winning both of their home games so far, 3-0 opening day win over West Ham and a 2-1 win over Keith Andrews' Brentford. Sunderland rank 19th of 20 when it comes to winning possession back in the final third, with only Burnley ranking below them. However, what they do well is outperform their expected goal tally. They have scored 5 goals from only having an XG of 3.4 and just taking 65 touches in the opposition box, ranking 18th out of 20 teams.
Can't defend only with 4 plus the goalkeeper. We need a full squad involved with the subs as well. So I think the mentality of the squad is really positive. From that point of view, we know that to be competitive in that league, we have to defend together from the beginning until the end, the last second, and it was the case so far.
Regis Labrie's managerial career is perhaps one of the more stranger routes to the top. It's fair to say when Sunderland announced the appointment of Labrie in June 2024, underwhelmed was the overriding emotion. Labrie led Sunderland to their equal highest league finish since they won the championship in 2007 under Roy Keane, the last time they were promoted to the Premier League. He had a modest playing career during which the time he played in Ligue 1 for Rennes, but the proud son of Brittany found his true calling when he turned his hand to coaching at the age of 27 with Vaskehall. He quickly obtained his badges and was soon returning to his old club to take on a youth coaching role. He had success there, winning the French equivalent of the Youth Cup and the Under-18 Championship before taking on a similar job at Lorient. Again, he was heavily involved in the youth programme, being successful with the Under-17s and then becoming the reserve team manager. It had taken Sunderland 3 months to find a permanent replacement for Michael Beale, and the club had come up with a man who had just been relegated from Ligue 1 in France with Lorient. Labrie's is the first French manager in the Premier League since Patrick Vieira left Crystal Palace in March 2023. And with a doctorate in sport physiology and biomechanics to his name, he does bring a different feel to the touchline, with behaviour associated with his countryman Arsene Wenger in his 2 decades at Arsenal.
It's fear to fail.
One of Sunderland's more eye-catching signings of the summer was Shemsdine Talbi.
It's a nice ball forward by Van Aken, and they've worked this really well. Talbi working the room for the shot, scores! The dream start for Club Brugge. Chemsdeen Talbi has picked out that bottom corner majestically. And it's the 19-year-old with the opener.
What a finish that is from a young player, really high on confidence, and he cannot quite believe it.
Yashari. And still going here, Yashari. And Solis! Kanaseki with the save! But couldn't stop the second. And it's him again. Talbi makes it 2-0 on the night. 4-1 on aggregate.
Good goalkeeping, but he just could not keep that away from Talbi, who again, Johnny on the spot to strike the ball home for Club Brugge, and this has been an absolutely wonderful performance.
The 20-year-old signed a 5-year contract after Club Brugge and Sunderland agreed a fee understood to be in the region of around £19.5 million. He only made his full senior debut in October last year, but it was the first of 22 starts in all competitions for the Belgian side. 7 of those came in the Champions League, scoring twice in an eye-catching win away to Atalanta in a knockout phase playoff. Only 5 players, Achraf Hakimi, Erling Haaland, Kylian Mbappe, Matheus Nunes and Mama Balde, registered a quicker top speed than Talbi in Europe's Premier Club competition last season. Talbi finished with 7 goals and 5 assists in 2024-2025, but his underlying numbers perhaps better highlight his attacking threat. He ranked highest in the Belgian top flight with 0.22 assist-ending carries per 90 minutes. In layman's terms, it refers to the assists he provided directly after carrying the ball 5 metres or more. Talbi provided an identical figure for goal-ending carries per 90 minutes, the second most in the division. He also ranked in the top 10 for most chances created from open play per 90 minutes at 1.93 and 4th for the most crosses at 5.1. All of which points to a direct fleet-footed player who comes alive in the final third. The Moroccan international earned his first cap last March and he plays most often on the right wing, but his technical ability means he's been used in a variety of attacking positions for Club Brugge at both youth and senior level, and his versatility will likely prove important throughout the course of the season to head coach Le Bris. Villa arrive for their first trip to the northeast this season, continuing the search for their first league goal of the campaign. Lone signing Harvey Elliott did register their first goal of the 2025-26 campaign, but that was largely thanks to some questionable goalkeeping from Brentford number 2 Hakon Valdemarsson.
Oh, McGinn desperate to catch an out. It's Harvey Elliott! Oh, what a horrible moment for the goalkeeper! But Villa will not care how it's come. Harvey Elliott on his first start at last gets Villa's first goal of the season.
Boubacar Camara is the last Villa player to score a Premier League goal for Unai Emery's side, the second of a 2-0 win over Spurs back in May. It's been a poor start to their opening 4 games of the season for a team with aspirations of qualifying for the UEFA Champions League next season. They sit 19th, ahead of the weekend's games with just 2 points from their first 12 available. They just missed out on the final day of last season and qualifying for Europe's Premier competition after suffering a 2-0 loss away to a wretched Manchester United. The Europa League, a competition Emery has won 4 times and appeared in a 5th final with Arsenal in Baku but lost to Chelsea, will see Villa welcome Italian side Bologna to Villa Park next Thursday. PSR constraints meant that academy product Jacob Ramsey was shipped off to Newcastle for €45 million, and Liam Bailey was sent to Roma on loan, where his hamstring immediately went twang as he stepped off the plane at Fiumicino Airport. Victor Lindelof, formerly of Manchester United, was brought in on a free transfer to cover in central defence, and Jadon Sancho of the famed United bomb squad was a deadline day loan signing to provide competition for the front three. Elliott also joined on loan but with an obligation to buy from Liverpool, and €30 million was dumped on Evan Gesson from Lille. Tyrone Mings and Morgan Rogers are the only two players to play every minute of their opening 4 games. Emiliano Martinez returned to the side last week against Everton, replacing Marco Bizzo, and kept a clean sheet, earning some respect back after hanging around the Villa canteen waiting for a move to Manchester United, which never materialised on deadline day.
Without Emi Martinez not in the squad at all tonight, why is that?
Bisotto. Marco Bisotto.
Where is Emi Martinez though?
Marco Bisotto.
Will he be your future goalkeeper?
Marco Bisotto. The time is over.
Ollie Watkins' form has been an area of concern for Villa fans. He has yet to hit the back of the net in either the Cup or the League this season. And without the likes of Jon Duran to challenge Watkins for the centre-forward position, Daniel Malin and Evelyn Gessan could challenge, but Villa need Watkins to step up, especially in a season where the England international will have eyes on making England's World Cup squad at the end of the year.
Palmer, lovely ball to Watkins inside the area. Watkins, oh, he scored! Watkins from an impossible angle, across Verbruggen and into the far bottom corner. Big part in this England squad, but the hero of the semi-final in Dortmund. What a finish! Netherlands 1, England 2. It seems England are set for Berlin thanks to Ollie Watkins.
Watkins has taken 8 shots on goal so far this season, with only 2 hitting the target, and has produced an XG of just 1.1. His shots on target per 90 at 0.67 suggests that while he is getting off a few attempts, relatively few are being directed on target so far. For comparison, last season his shots on target were significantly higher across the full campaign. For example, in the 24-25 season, he'd 40 shots on target in the Premier League over the entirety of the campaign. The last time these sides met in the top division was almost 10 years ago. Sunderland ran out 3-1 winners, with the goals coming by way of a Micah Richards' own goal and a brace from Jermaine Defoe. Carlos Kill scored Villa's solitary reply. Sunderland included one Irish player in their lineup that day, with John O'Shea playing all 90 minutes, whilst Villa had none. Remy Gard was the manager of Villa back then, but he left months later in the springtime by mutual consent. But the Villans still went down as they finished bottom of the table. Sunderland, guided by Sam Allardyce, were saved from the bottom three as 2 points separated them from their eternal rivals Newcastle United, who went down that year. So tune in to Off the Ball Sunday from 1 p.m. with John Duggan and Richie McCormick, and Brian Kerr will be in situ for that one from 2 o'clock. Our feature game of the day sees Arsenal take on Manchester City at the Emirates Stadium from 4:30. The Gunners are unbeaten in their last 5 meetings against the Citizens. The last time City won was in April 2023, a 4-1 humbling as Arsenal's title challenge faded. Now it is Liverpool who are the ones to catch, but both of these sides face an early test of their title credentials. But perhaps one of the more interesting factors of this game is Pep Guardiola, now following the lead of someone who was once his protege in Mikel Arteta. Guardiola's side has changed considerably since the 2017-18 season, the second season in which Arteta was involved as Pep's assistant. The fleet-footed Ederson has been replaced by the hulking figure of Gigio Donnarumma. Erling Haaland is literally the complete opposite of a false nine. And in midfield, Tijani Reinders is no small man either, coming in at about 1.78 m. Gone are the days of the inverted fullback. Abdoulkadir Gusinov is very much your hardened defender in the wide positions. The 4-centre-half combination across the back was first used by Guardiola, but was quickly imitated by Arteta at the North London club. Power, strength and physicality are now hallmarks of the new Guardiola style, a much removed thought from the initial La Masia Barcelona style era of nimble 5-foot midfield technicians of Xavi, Iniesta and the likes. Pep Linders, a former assistant of Jurgen Klopp's at Liverpool, has also been employed by Guardiola this season. Linders himself is an expert in the transition. James French has also been poached from Liverpool to be the City set-piece coach, something that Guardiola seemed not to place too much heed in until the success of Nicolas Jover at Arsenal. Pep's philosophy seems to have taken a shift to being more pragmatic these days. Balancing the relentless nature of competing for 3 trophies and extra games in Europe has forced the Catalan to move slightly away from a strict possession-based style. This was evident last Sunday when City were quite happy to let Manchester United have the ball and then transition quickly into the spaces vacated by a porous United midfield 4 and defensive back 3. The third goal and Haaland's second was perhaps the best example of this.
Who starts to run from inside his own half and has miles and miles all to himself. Erling Haaland!
Arteta has built a squad of 25 players, and with the side playing games every 3 or 4 days, and the fact that injuries are a theme of his tenure at the Gunners, everyone will be needed at some stage. Manchester City carry a bloated squad of their own, something Guardiola says that he isn't a fan of. He referenced last season when he was forced to leave the likes of Jack Grealish, Ilkay Gundogan and James McAtee out of the 18-player matchday squads. This weekend comes a little early for both Kai Havertz and Bukayo Saka, so Victor Gyökeres and the impressive Nani Madueke will both again likely start in the front three. However, skipper Martin Odegaard remains in injury doubt with a shoulder knock. The most interesting battle could come between the two Spanish holding midfield players in Martin Zubimendi and Rodri. In the last international window for Spain, it was Arsenal Zubimendi who started both wins over Bulgaria and Turkey, and it was Rodri who replaced him both times. A changing of the guard for Luis De La Fuente is Spain? Perhaps not, as Rodri continues to be nursed back to the full of his health following the ACL injury he suffered in the fixture in the 2-2 draw in this fixture at the Etihad last season. Zubimendi scored his first goal for the Gunners last weekend, a fabulous volley in a 3-0 win at home to Nottingham Forest, and has already cemented his place at the fulcrum of the team as the days of Thomas Partey and Jorginho are left behind. Declan Rice will likely go up against Tijani Reinders, last season's top midfielder in Serie A. Rice's development into a number 8 under Arteta has been a positive for the Gunners, utilising his strengths going forward rather than being the conductor of the orchestra and breaking up play from a deep midfield position. But Reinders, who is back to his best against Napoli during the week, will cause the Englishman all sorts of problems, adding lung-busting deep midfield runs as well as guile and creativity, similar to that of what Kevin De Bruyne once had in the City Blue. The comparison between Victor Gyökeres and Erling Haaland will be at its most profound on Sunday. Two strikers who are tall, strong, powerful and quick, and both have an eye for goal. Whether Gyökeres can replicate the insane numbers he produced in Portugal remains to be seen, but 3 goals from his first 4 games in the league is not a bad start. Haaland's form so far this season has been incredible. 6 goals in his first 5 games of the season, including a delightful little header midweek against Napoli from a deft Phil Foden pass. His form internationally didn't stop either. He scored the only goal of the game in a 1-0 friendly win over Finland, but then scored 5 in Norway's 11-1 rout of Moldova in Oslo in the World Cup qualifiers. The last meeting between the sides was in February of last season, when Arsenal closed the gap to 6 points behind Premier League leaders Liverpool with a dominant 5-1 win over Manchester City at the Emirates. Needing victory after Liverpool's win at Bournemouth that weekend, Arsenal struck early through Martin Odegaard, although Erling Haaland equalised. Goals from Thomas Partey via deflection, Miles Lewis-Skelly and Kai Havertz sealed control of the game. Teenager Ethan Nwaneri capped the rout with a superb late strike.
Beautiful switch. Nwaneri. What a hit! What a hit! What a star! What a game! What a scoreline! Arsenal have ripped up the champions!
Despite playing a game more, Arsenal remains in touch with Arne Slot's leaders. But City were in the middle of that slump, littered with defensive errors, including a costly early mistake in that game by Manuel Akanji, who has since departed for Inter. So tune in to Off the Ball this Sunday from 1 p.m. with John Duggan, and you can hear live commentary of this game with Nathan Murphy and Keith Tracy on News Talk Radio and the Goalhead app from 4:30. That has been Off the Ball's Big Match Sunday Preview. Thanks for listening.